I'm a bit Levertral. I had prepared a second presentation for Friday, but unfortunately I was not able to be present on Friday, so I'm very happy that I have the opportunity to continue today. And I'm sorry that for you it means a prolongation of this morning, but maybe it is worthwhile at least a bit. Today I will be talking about two sleeping things. I will start with sleeping inscriptions. You all know Gelati, Gelati's monastery. You know the church of Tzmida Gheorghi. I talked about this on, what was it, Wednesday? And there is a small building there, which is the southern gate of the monastery. This is a picture of the inside of 1999. Two persons on the picture are present here today. Guess who?
You.
Yes, and the other one? Right. Well, this was 1999. Okay, now it looks like this from inside. The one person who is visible was here until yesterday, no, until the day before yesterday, Christoph Kraxler. Okay, within the gate, there is the famous epitaph of David the Builder. This is a picture from 1999. This is a picture of Thursday when we went there. The epitaph of David the Builder was identified as early as the beginning of the 19th century by some people like the French traveler Frédéric Dubois de Montpérus, who visited Georgia in the 1930s, and he wrote about Gelati, and he claimed that David III, who was the builder, the réparateur, was lying under this epitaph, and he also gave a first reading of the inscription. It was repeated by Marie-Félicité Brosset, who wrote a lot about Gelati, and he called it also the Sepulture de David le Réparateur, means the grave of David the Rebuilder. In another article, Brosset also gave the first transcription of the inscription on the epitaph, and you can see it here. Esse ars gansas venebeli, esem tnafs, aca davem hydro me. This is what can be read today. Esse ars gansas venebeli chemi, abbreviated. Oc I oc e, what is oc I oc e? Ukunitis, ukuniti, ukunisande. Right. Esem tnafs, aca davem hydro me. Okay. This is actually the drawing which was provided by Brosset in the 19th century. Now, what does this mean? Let's have a look into the corpus, because we are on digital humanities here. And Gansas Venebeli Chemi is found as a collocation in several texts in Titus. We have seven attestations. One is from the Bible, from the book of Isaiah. Three are from different versions of the Psalms. Two are from the Vita of Ioane Zedatzinelli, and one is from the Vita of Grigol Chanstelli. And interestingly enough, six of them, that means all but the one from Isaiah, depend on the Psalm. Isaiah 66:1 reads like this, for example, in the Paris Lectionary. Anu romeli adgali ikos ganses venebeli chemi, romeli gamimzadet me, which means quite the same thing, but it's not the same text, actually. And you see that the three different Bible versions I've printed here do not have the same text. But in the Psalm, we three times, we always have the same text. In the oldest reduction, in the Graz manuscript, and also in the Mtsreta Bible, the only difference is that in the Mtsreta Bible, you have not ukunisamde, but ukuniti ukunisamde. But the text is not just the same as what we found on the epitaph, because here we have rametum tnafs esse after amas davem quidro me. This is the Graz manuscript, which is a very important one. It contains the Psalter, the Psalms, in Georgian, but underneath The lower text, you see it's a palimpsest, is not Georgian but Armenian. It's a very famous Armenian palimpsest which was overwritten in Georgian. And in the Graz manuscript you can see the same abbreviation for Ukunisande, namely Ok-e. Okay? This Bible verse, the Psalm, is quoted in the Vita of Grigor Hansteli. Bermant qua, esse ars gansa svenebeli cemi, ukunisande, amas darem quido rametu und nas esse. And it's also quoted in the Vita of Ioana Zedasneli. This was often quoted because it was simply a good way to say, I want to stay here. In the edition of Ioana Zedasneli's Vita, you see there is a small fault, a mistake, because in the edition people wrote ukwe instead of ukunisande, which is just a misinterpretation of the abbreviation. Ukwe has no sense here, makes absolutely no sense, but ukunisamde was written ok-e, and this was mistaken for ukwe. Okay, you can correct it in your text. Now, the very fact that this inscription was taken from the Holy Bible was known as early as to Dubois de Montpereux, because he said it's from the Holy Scripture, Sainte Écriture, and he also gives the correct translation of it into French. So, is this really the tomb of David the Builder? And this is confirmed now by a text which has only recently been prepared for the Georgian National Corpus, namely the Synaxarian Vita of David the Builder from one manuscript, age 274. And which was edited in Agiographiae Zeglebi in the fourth volume in 1968. And here you can see that he was buried first, Mcidesa egut ersa machlobe Gaenatis. Gaenati is another name or a name version of Gelati. And then his relics were brought to the Zemore Sakurtreveli. Okay, so this is the confirmation for the time being. There is another very important monument in the same building in Galati, namely the Big Gate in iron, which is normally styled the Gate of Derbent. Most of you will have seen it. And this also was known as early as Dubois de Montpereux, who said that this was the Gates of Derbent. Another traveler who was there in 1818, Bernard Eugène Antoine Rottier, he wrote that there were two parts of the gate. This was a gate with two parts, and at his time he saw the two parts still, of which only one has remained until today. And also Jean-François Gamba still saw two parts of the gate in 1824. But 1826, when Mr. Eichwald was in Galati, there was only one part. So between 1824 and 26, the one part was taken away, and as Mr. Eichwald wrote, was eingeschmolzen, that means melted down. People needed some iron, and so they took the gate and melted it down. Okay, what does this gate contain as an inscription? The inscription is Arabic, and it was first deciphered by Christian Martin Frehn in an article in 1836, who tried not only to identify David Arma Shenebeli, written in a very peculiar form here, but also who tried for the first time to analyze the inscription and to identify it, and he took it. He did it with great success. This is actually what is written on it, and it means something like this. In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, this gate was ordered to be taken over by our Lord, the commander and most splendid master, Shabur bin al-Fadl, may God prolong his suzerainty, by the hand of the administrator, Abi al-Faraj, Muhammad bin Abdallah, may God grant him long-lasting fortune. It was manufactured by Ibrahim bin Uthman bin Malakun, the blacksmith, in the year 455. Now, what year is this? which time reckoning do we have here? This is obviously an Islamic text. It's written in Arabic, and so we have to assume the time reckoning of the Islamic world, and this is the time reckoning after Hijra, after 622, in month, year, lunar years. And this was calculated by Mr. Frehn, who tried also to identify the person who is mentioned in the gate, and so he came up to the year 1063 for the perfection of the gate. But Mr. Frehn was not sure whether this was actually from Derbent, because he said that that person never had any influence into Derbent, but he was rather working in the area between Armenia, present-day Armenia, and Azerbaijan. So he proposed that the gate might have come from Berda, which is Bardavi, and this was the first proposal he made. Another proposal was made by Marie-Félicité Brosset, who proposed that this gate was not from Derbent, but from Ganja, Ganzaki. And it was not only the proposal that the gate was from Ganzak, but also the proposal who took it from Ganzak to Gelati. Namely, the king he names Dimitri, which is Demetre, the son of David Armashenebeli. And why did he take the gate from Ganzak to Gelati? Because, first, Brosset found an inscription in the same building, which is no longer there, which ran like this: Mepeman Dimitri, Arani da Arvia, da Eskari, Tselsa Mepobisa, Cholo da Basabamitgan. That means that there was an inscription that related the fact that the gate was brought to Gelati by Demetre in the building itself, but this inscription has got lost. I've not yet found when. Anyway, the reason why Demetre took the gate from Ganzaki to Gelati is actually styled in an Armenian chronicle by Kirakos Ganzaketsi. His name says that he is from Ganzak, so he is from actually that village. And it tells you that in the year 588, this is now Armenian calculation, this means 1139, there was a heavy earthquake, and it destroyed the town of Ganzak, and the buildings that were in it tumbled down over the inhabitants. And the king of the Georgians, Demetre, the father of David V and George III, came and took the gate of the town to his land. The earthquake destroyed Mount Al-Haraktu, and the mountain gap which crossed it was blocked up so that the lake, which is still in there nowadays, could emerge. So, there is an Armenian chronicle which actually states that the gate was taken from Ganzak by Demetre to his land, that means to Georgia, and obviously it's the gate at Gelati. Now the question is, if the gate is the one that Demetre brought to Gelati, might not the epitaph be the one of Demetre and not of David? Actually, Katniss Tsovreba doesn't tell anything about either David's or Demetre's burial. It tells us in Lasha Georgis Droin Deli Mematiane that Demetre died in Beltia, in the fortress of Beltia, and that they took him to Gelati, to the monastery that he had blessed. And this was the year, the Chronikoni, 374, this is 1154 AD. As to David, the Katniss Tsovreba only tells us that he founded it and that he gave it the name of Meore Jerusalemi, Sua Atine, and that he gave it the name of Gelati, which is a Greek name actually. Genetlion in Greek means something like the related to the birth. So the question is whether exactly Gelati was founded by David, but not completed. It was completed by Demetre after the death of David. And this again is told in the Synaxarian Vita of David. He Here you can read that David gave it over to Demetre and to complete it. And now the question is, who is right? The same Vita tells us that David was buried in Galati, but also that David did not even complete Galati. So if the little building, the little gate was the one which contains the epitaph, was built later, it was built by Demetre, but maybe the relics of David were taken there. One problem about this source is that it's a source of the 19th century. It's not older than the source of the French travelers, which I've quoted. So taking all this information together, we only arrive at the question is open. The question is open whether the epitaph really is on the body of David, or rather on the body of Demetre, and how can we solve it? One thing is dig them up, but who wants to do that? The other thing is, let's try to find some more sources and link them. And this is now a digital humanities task. Preparation of linked historical corpora means, in this case, not only Georgian history, not only Karis Tovreba and also other documents, but also Armenian sources, Persian, Turkish, Arabic, and Greek sources, because some of them may contain some additional information. Then establish a corpus of Georgian epigraphical monuments, which is a very important task for the Georgian National Corpus Project. We have just started with about 90 inscriptions from the Georgian National Museum in Tbilisi, but this must be worked out. And then one more thing is also the digital elaboration of 19th century Western sources. Brosset, Dubois de Montpereux, Gamba, and the others are all authors that must not only be read until today because they have some knowledge that is no longer available anywhere else, but also which is to the time when they lived as important as other sources. And Google Books is not enough for this, I must say, because you can find the books there, but nothing as to their contents. So you can retrieve the books, which is great. Everybody can read Brosset nowadays, who is able to read French, but then you must go into the texts. So this was one thing, and the second thing is the sleeping language. 3 days ago, Zakaria raised the question of Keba da Dide by Kartulisa Enisa, and I thought it might be useful to put some things together from the corpus linguistic approach. This is Sinurim Ravaltavi. Many of you will have seen this. This is the page where the date is given when the manuscript was written. It's the Chronicon 84, and this is the oldest dated Georgian manuscript, as you know, from 863 or 4. The manuscript was written in Jerusalem, taken to Mount Sinai, and rebound by Ioannes Osime on Mount Sinai in the year 980-81. And Ioannes Osime added this text, which is Keba da Dide ba Kartulisa Enisa. Just have a look at his handwriting. It's not awful, it's very peculiar, let's say. It's very, very peculiar handwriting. Once you've seen it, you recognize it always. This is another manuscript from Mount Sinai, number 38. And this is a Bible manuscript, a gospel manuscript. And on the left-hand side, you see practically the same thing, the same handwriting. This codex was also bound together by Ioannes Osime, and he added the same text. It's a defective gospel manuscript from the 10th century, and Ioannes Osime's edition is on page 144. The third one is also from Mount Sinai. It's number 6, and it's very different. Here you see quite the same handwriting on the left-hand side again. This is Ioannes Osime's, but on the right-hand side, you see Keba da Dide ba Kartulisa Enisa. Main difference is this was not written by Ioannes Osime, and this is written in Asontavuri. Maybe this is the oldest version. I will get back to this. This is a hagiographical manuscript from the 10th century, and Keba da Dideba is on page 233. So, let's go through the text. Damarchulas ena kartuli dremde meoret moslisa misisa sats amebelad raita ovelsa enasa mertman amchilos amit enita. What does this mean? Well, you will understand what it means, but it doesn't tell you very much. Whose second coming is meant?
Jesus.
The second coming of?
Jesus,
okay. And what kind of amphilos?
So this is a court.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. This is actually nearly a quotation from the Bible. It's John 16:7-8. You see that this is about the coming, the second coming. And then it says, da movides igi, da amchilos sopelsa, zod visatvis, da simatlisa, da sashjelisa. Exactly. Yeah? This is meant here. Okay. And this tongue is sleeping until today, and in the Gospels, this tongue is called Lazarus. Lazare. You know the story of Lazare? Okay. This is also from the Gospel of John, 11:11-13, or nearly all the chapter 11, and you see this is how it runs. Okay, this is easy. And it was converted by the new Nino and by Queen Helena. These are two sisters like Mary and Martha. Who are Mary and Martha? Ah, the sisters of Lazare. This is John 11:1. Ich rovinme uzguri Lazare betaniait davisagam Mariamisa da Martaisa disa misisa. He came from the same village, okay? And this Lazare sneuli. And friendship, he said, because every mystery is preserved in this language. Who said friendship? Well, it's written there in the same context. Lazare megobar man, cheman. Yeah? So, Jesus names Lazare his friend. And dead for 4 days, he said, because David the prophet said that 1,000 years is like one day. This is partly from John, then where it says, Vitazamo vida Jesu Betaniaet, ova igi rametu otri dre agundas saplasta china. Okay? But 1,000 years is like one day is from a psalm. This is from Psalm 89:4. Atasitz eli tualtatz inashe uplisata vitatza gushindeli dre. Okay? And in the Georgian Gospels, only in the chapter of Matthew, sits a writing which is a letter, and it means all in all the number 4,000. So what does this mean? Okay, this is the Gospel of Matthew in one manuscript from Mount Sinai. You can take any Gospel manuscript which contains Matthew 1:1 and have a look at it. And this is especially beautiful. And what sits upon the Gospel of Matthew? Well, there is a title, Sachareba Matestavi. Okay? This is not what it means. But what sits upon it is this. This here is the first letter of the Gospel of Matthew. And it's which letter?
Tzili.
Tzili. And you see, if you look exactly, can you see it? Yes. If you look exactly, you see that the tzili is here another time, very much more beautiful. Often in the manuscripts, they left some space for big initial letters. And this was intended here, but when the manuscript was completed, they forgot to complete the initial letter and replaced it simply by the red one. So actually, this hook should have been this large and should have really been sitting on top of the Gospel of Matthew. So why is Tzili the first letter of Matthew? Because it begins with Tzigni Shobisai Iesu Christi. Okay? And this is only in the Georgian Bible, because in no other language Matthew's Gospel begins with Zigni, but with any other word meaning the book. Okay, we'll come back to that. And this is the 4 days, and he who is dead for 4 days. Therefore, it is buried with him through death of his baptism. Why is this the 4 days, and who is dead for 4 days? Okay. First of all, it is buried with him through death of his baptism. Is another quotation from the Bible, namely from Romans, St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, and you can read the text yourself. This is simply another allusion to the same story. And this tongue, adorned and blessed by the name of the Lord, yet humiliated and reviled, is waiting for the day of the second coming of the Lord. Okay. Still the question is open, why is this all about the 400? Let's go back again. It means all in all the number 4,000. Why? Because every single character in the Georgian alphabet has its numerical value, and the numerical value of Tzili is 4,000. Yeah? So the Tzili stands for 4,000. 4,000 is 4 times 1,000, 4 days of Lazare, and 1,000 times as according to the Psalms. This is what it means. And this it has as a miracle, 94 years more than the other tongues since the coming of Christ up to the present day. Let's reconsider the time reckoning. I told you on Wednesday that the Georgian era and the Byzantine era are differentiated by 96 years. So the first year of our time reckoning, 1 AD, is the year 5605 according to the Georgian reckoning, and the year 5509 according to the Byzantine era. There is still a mistake in it because this is 94, not 96. But let's assume that they were not as exactly knowing the difference as we know it today. So I believe that this is actually the difference they mean. And all this which is written, I have told you as a witness, all these 100 years of the alphabet. And now we have a difference between the two versions. You remember we had two versions by Johannes Osime and one by another writer in Assuntavruli. Johannes Osime writes, Mozamet Tsarmogitchar Asi Ese Tseli Anbanisai. This would mean these 100 years of the alphabet. And this makes not very much sense. The other one tells us, I don't believe that either one is correct. But my proposal is, first of all, we read a bit above, not Tserilisis Romel Asoi Ars, but Tzilisis Romeli Asoi Ars. There sits a Tzili, which is the letter. Okay? And here we read, Mozamit Tzarmogitchar Asoi Ese Tzili Anbanisai. Okay? And then it makes any sense you can have. So, the one letter of the Gospel of Matthew, the very first letter of the New Testament, tells you the whole story of the 4 years of Lazare, 4 days of Lazare in the grave, and the 4,000, and because this is only in the Georgian version, the Georgian Bible is Lazare, and so on. If you agree to all this, then the next question is, can we assume that Johannes Osime was the author of this text, as everybody assumes? I would say no, because if he was the author, he would never have made the mistakes in writing Tzeli or Tzerili for Tzili, because he simply didn't understand it any longer. So the text must be older, and I believe that the text which we have in the Assuntavruli version in Sinai, manuscript number 6, is the oldest version we have. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is the last image from Galati from Thursday.
Zosim as author of this text, we suppose